Chapter 20. Considering Medication for BPD. In this chapter, looking at the facts about medications, providing help during the tough times, reviewing your medication options, deciding whether to give medication a try. Psychotropic medications are drugs that change your mood, behavior, or perceptions. Over the last several decades, the use of these medications has skyrocketed. In fact, prescriptions for antidepressants, one type of psychotropic medication, are more common than any other category of medications. Remember, although most people with borderline personality disorder, BPD, take one or more psychotropic medications, surprisingly, very little research supports the use of medication for the management of BPD. This lack of supportive research doesn't mean that medication can't be useful when you, or someone you love, is dealing with BPD, but it does make the decision whether to use medication more complicated. In this chapter, we lay out what science has to say about BPD and medications. We describe various classes of medication that doctors commonly use to help manage the symptoms of BPD and discuss the reasons why someone with BPD may decide to use a certain drug. We also survey the common side effects of these drugs. Finally, we offer our advice and some thoughts about saying no to medication. Putting medications on trial. A scientific consensus regarding the effectiveness of medications for treating symptoms of BPD doesn't exist. At this time, no definitive studies suggest that any particular drug will cure or even eliminate symptoms of BPD. In fact, the guidelines published in 2009 by the British National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence state that drug treatment should not be used specifically for BPD, and that psychotherapy is the cornerstone of treatment. Technical stuff. The problem is that most studies of medications and BPD to date have lacked rigor and high standards of scientific excellence. The main concern is the scarcity of what scientists call randomized clinical trials, RCTs, which are the most accepted form of experimentation in the world of science. The problem with RCTs is that they're time-consuming and costly to run. In an RCT, the study's administrators randomly assign carefully selected and diagnosed participants to a treatment. For example, if a study is looking at how drug A improves BPD symptoms, some participants are assigned to a group that receives drug A, while others are assigned to a group that receives a sugar pill, also known as a placebo. A third set of participants may be assigned to a group that doesn't receive any drug for a while. In the best designed studies, neither the participants nor the doctors administering the treatment know which participants are getting a real treatment and which are getting a placebo. See the More Research on Medications for BPD sidebar for more information. More Research on Medications for BPD. The Cochrane Collaboration, a global nonprofit organization that searches scientific literature and evaluates the quality of research done on various disorders, offers easy-to-understand reviews of this research for free on the internet. Go to cochrane.org/reviews and search for whatever disorder you're interested in. The collaboration's recent report about BPD concludes that current scientific evidence doesn't support treating BPD with medications. Renowned BPD expert Joel Paris, MD, agrees. In his book, Treatment of Borderline Personality Disorder, Guilford Press, Paris argues that doctors often give people with BPD too many prescriptions. But he concludes that when doctors are considering medications for BPD, the antidepressants, specifically the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs, are a possible first choice for treating some of the symptoms. He makes this choice because of the relative safety of SSRIs and their ability to decrease the depression and anxiety that often accompany BPD. The World Federation of Societies of Biological Psychiatry, an international group of experts, published guidelines for treating BPD in 2007. This group also found that research supporting the use of specific medications for BPD has been sparse. But like Paris, the group suggests that certain medications may be useful for managing some BPD symptoms. Other problems in the research of medications and BPD include vast inconsistencies among studies. These inconsistencies make comparing and contrasting the studies extremely difficult. Studies vary in lengths of treatment, in ways of measuring improvement, and in manners of recruiting participants. For example, some studies took place over a 5-week period, while others occurred over a 6-month period. In terms of measuring improvement, some studies used patient self-report. Others used psychological test scores, and still others used ratings given by the physician who gave the medications. In terms of recruiting methods, some studies recruited people through newspaper advertisements, while others used people who were in therapy. In some studies, not enough people participated. In others, too many people dropped out mid-study. Finally, studies also vary in terms of funding. In some cases, the manufacturers of the drugs being studied provided the funding for the studies, which has led many professionals to question the results because of the possibility of conflict of interest. Tip: the bottom line is that both doctors and patients should use medication for BPD with caution. Although many people do benefit enormously from psychotropic medication, having BPD doesn't necessarily mean taking a trip to the pharmacy. Most mental health professionals agree that psychological therapy is the best form of treatment for BPD. However, the following section takes a look at the reasons why doctors may consider medications in the treatment of BPD. Getting help from medications. Experts agree that psychological therapies designed for treating BPD remain the most successful approaches to helping people who have this disorder. However, at times, adding medication to the mix can make a lot of sense. Warning: sometimes medications can be powerful tools for people with BPD. However, most people with BPD who choose to take medications don't obtain as much relief from these medications as they hoped for. Typically, medications for BPD provide only limited relief for a limited range of symptoms. For this reason, the best form of treatment is one that includes psychotherapy. Considerations for taking medication. Your doctor may choose to put you on medication because of other disorders or symptoms that are occurring at the same time as your BPD. Thus, if one or more of the following situations occur, your care provider may consider medication. You have both BPD and a major depressive disorder. Research has found psychotherapy to be an effective treatment for depression. However, for some people, medication is an appropriate adjunct to psychotherapy. For more information about depression, see our book, Depression for Dummies, Wiley. You have severe, debilitating anxiety and/or panic attacks. Psychotherapy also helps treat this problem, but some folks find that medication helps them make progress in therapy. You have BPD and bipolar disorder. Doctors almost always call for medication when a person has bipolar disorder, formerly known as manic depressive disorder. For more on this disorder, check out Candida Fink and Joe Cranach's Bipolar Disorder for Dummies, Wiley. You start to hear voices or see things that aren't there, or you have bizarre, paranoid thoughts. Medications can help treat these symptoms. However, they often have significant side effects and should rarely be used for long periods of time for BPD. See the Surveying the Medicine Cabinet section for more info on medication options. If you have BPD and not schizophrenia, you shouldn't need to take them for a long time because people with BPD rarely experience these symptoms for extended periods of time. you are at risk of imminently harming yourself or someone else. If you arrive in an emergency room for treatment because of dangerous behavior, the medical staff will probably give you medication to calm you down. Your unique symptoms lead your medical provider to determine that a trial of medication would be beneficial. Sometimes, experienced mental health professionals have reasons to try a certain medication, especially when other treatments have failed. However, you should never feel pressured to do something against your will. To ensure that people with BPD are comfortable with their doctor's suggested treatment, we encourage them and those who care about them to become educated about the pros and cons of medication. Precautions to consider. Prior to beginning any medication regimen, be sure to have a complete physical exam. Your doctor may want to run a blood test to look at your thyroid function, cholesterol levels, liver condition, and other health risks that can influence the medication decision. In some cases, your doctor may recommend an electrocardiogram, EKG, a painless test that checks how fast and regular your heart is beating. Make sure you keep your primary care provider informed about any treatment you're receiving, including psychotherapy or medication. Before taking any medications, be sure that you talk to your doctor about the following. Any physical conditions you have, including the following: diabetes, metabolic syndrome, high blood pressure, heart disease, liver disease, thyroid malfunction, kidney disease, chronic pain, migraine headaches, allergies, hormone imbalances, menopause, arthritis, cancer, other medications, either prescribed or over-the-counter, that you're taking, vitamins, herbs, or dietary supplements you take regularly, heavy caffeine and/or energy drink consumption, your drug or alcohol use, tobacco consumption, whether you're pregnant, planning a pregnancy, or breastfeeding, your family's mental health history, previous medications you didn't tolerate well, previous medications you found useful. Surveying the medicine cabinet. In this section, we briefly describe the medications that doctors commonly prescribe to treat symptoms associated with BPD. At this time, however, the evidence that medications directly help people with BPD is limited at best. Nevertheless, most people with BPD take some kind of medication. So knowing what options are available is important for both people with BPD and those who care about them. Keep in mind that researchers are constantly developing new medications and conducting new studies on side effects and general benefits. For the latest information about medications and their side effects, talk to your doctor first. You can also find information about medications on the web at webmd.com. Warning: people with BPD attempt and commit suicide at an alarmingly high rate. Therefore, doctors who treat BPD must always consider the lethality of an overdose of any drug they prescribe. Technical stuff. In one small study of people with BPD, researchers gave one group of patients 1 gram of omega-3 fatty acids found in fish oil, and another group placebos, sugar pills. After 8 weeks, researchers found a reduction of depression and aggression symptoms in the group that took omega-3 fatty acids, but not in the group that took placebos. Omega-3 fatty acids may ultimately prove to be an effective and safe option to treat depression and aggression in people with BPD. But at this time, considerably more research is needed. Antidepressants. The most commonly prescribed medications for people with BPD are antidepressants, which are drugs that increase the availability of certain neurotransmitters, or chemicals that help nerve cells communicate, in the brain. These neurotransmitters affect mood, energy, aggressiveness, impulsivity, attention, motivation, arousal, and appetite. SSRIs. Doctors frequently prescribe selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, for people with BPD. SSRIs boost the availability of serotonin in the brain. Although most people with BPD don't have classic major depression, some research does show that SSRIs can help decrease anger and impulsivity. An important advantage to consider when using this medication is its low risk of overdose. SSRIs may take from 1 to 4 or more weeks to take effect. Warning. Keep in mind the following concerns when you're considering SSRIs as a form of treatment. Side effects can include weight gain, dizziness, dry mouth, upset stomach, insomnia, apathy, decreased sex drive, headaches, weight loss, tremors, sweating, or anxiety. Side effects usually diminish after a month and can sometimes be managed with other medical treatments. Don't stop taking an SSRI abruptly. Discontinuing use too quickly can cause headaches, nausea, sweating, problems sleeping, frightening dreams, or fever and chills. Studies have linked SSRIs to an increased likelihood of suicidal thoughts and attempts in children, adolescents, and young adults. Doctors need to monitor moods carefully whenever someone starts a new medication, but especially younger people. A life-threatening condition called serotonin syndrome can occur when too much serotonin is in the body. Another kind of antidepressant, monoamine oxidase inhibitors, MAOIs, can lead to this condition when you take them at the same time as SSRIs. See the next section for more info on MAOIs. In addition, some migraine medications, pain relief medications, and dietary supplements can increase risk for serotonin syndrome. A wide variety of SSRIs have become available in the last decade or two. People often need to try more than one to discover what works best for them. Be patient and work with your mental health care provider when trying SSRIs for the first time. Among the most frequently prescribed SSRIs, with their brand names in parentheses, are citalopram, Celexa. This SSRI seems to have fewer side effects and is well tolerated by elderly people. Escitalopram, Lexapro. Prescribed for both anxiety and depression, this drug may work faster than its chemical cousin, citalopram. Fluvoxamine, Luvox. Also prescribed for obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, this drug is more sedating than other SSRIs. Paroxetine, Paxil. This drug is associated with weight gain, sedation, and significant withdrawal symptoms. Fluoxetine, Prozac. This drug tends to be more stimulating than other SSRIs and can sometimes cause insomnia. It has FDA approval for treating OCD, depression, anxiety, and premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Sertraline, Zoloft. This drug appears to be the safest medication for people with cardiac problems and doesn't seem to be either overly stimulating or sedating. Other antidepressants. Because SSRIs are relatively safe, and because some research supports their use with BPD, other types of antidepressants are less widely used. However, in the quest to find relief, doctors sometimes prescribe antidepressants that affect other neurotransmitters or older generations of antidepressants. These other types of antidepressants include SNRIs, dual serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, SNRIs, work by increasing levels of the neurotransmitters, serotonin, and norepinephrine, venlafaxine, Effexor, and duloxetine, Cymbalta, are two antidepressants in this category. NDRIs. Norepinephrine dopamine reuptake inhibitors, NDRIs, increase availability of the neurotransmitters, norepinephrine, and dopamine. Doctors sometimes use bupropion, Wellbutrin, or Zyban, one of the drugs in this category to help people stop smoking or to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. For more on ADHD, check out Jeff Strong and Michael O. Flanagan's ADHD for Dummies, Wiley. Tricyclics. Doctors rarely prescribe tricyclics, an older variety of medications, for people with BPD because an overdose can be fatal. Side effects can also be considerably worse than those of other more refined medications and include dry mouth, dizziness, drop in blood pressure, and blurred vision. MAOIs. The oldest type of antidepressants, MAOIs, can have serious and dangerous side effects, including dangerous spikes in blood pressure. As a result, doctors don't often use them. Lessons from cousins. Considerable evidence links lower concentrations of the brain chemical communicator called serotonin to a variety of mental disorders, including depression and anxiety. Research also associates problems in serotonin function with impulsive aggression. Furthermore, impulsive aggression is often a symptom of BPD. To better understand where impulsive aggression comes from, researchers have studied the connection between genes and early environment in rhesus monkeys because human beings share over 90% of their genetic makeup with rhesus monkeys. During their research, scientists found that some monkeys have a gene that, when activated, appears to affect concentrations of serotonin. However, when the monkeys with that gene were raised by their own mothers, the gene didn't appear to affect serotonin levels at all. By contrast, when monkeys with that gene were raised by other monkeys, not their own mothers, the gene appeared to trigger lower levels of serotonin. Furthermore, monkeys raised by other monkeys, not their own mothers, were more likely to become impulsively aggressive than monkeys raised by their own mothers. Aggressive monkeys fought with others in their troop and acted up with their elders. As adolescents, they could have been expelled from their troops or become social outcasts. Apparently, early environmental factors interact with genetic factors and lead to later behavioral problems in monkeys. This scenario sounds a little like what happens with people who develop BPD. A less than ideal childhood environment increases the likelihood that a genetic risk will be activated. Neuroleptics. Researchers originally designed neuroleptics, also called antipsychotic drugs, to help people with schizophrenia. But doctors now use them for other problems, including BPD. The following sections describe the two classes of antipsychotic drugs, which are typical and atypical. Warning. A rare, but serious side effect of neuroleptic drugs is known as neuroleptic malignant syndrome, NMS. NMS causes fever, delirium, and muscle rigidity and can cause a coma. NMS can also be life-threatening. Scientists once thought NMS occurred only in reaction to the older, typical antipsychotic drugs. However, doctors have reported cases of NMS in people taking the newer, atypical antipsychotics. If these symptoms develop in you or someone you care about who's taking antipsychotics, seek immediate medical attention. Typical antipsychotics. Typical antipsychotics have been around a while, and doctors often use them in emergency rooms to calm people down. These drugs aren't usually a good choice for people with BPD because BPD tends to be a chronic disorder. Typical antipsychotics can lead to disturbing side effects with long-term use. Tardive dyskinesia is an especially troubling side effect of typical antipsychotics that involves uncontrolled, repetitive movements. People with this side effect may make facial grimaces, smack their lips, or have rapid movements of the body, arms, or legs. Frequently, they can't control their fingers and may look like they're playing an imaginary piano. Unfortunately, treatment of this side effect can take considerable time and isn't always successful. As a result, people who already have a severe emotional distress end up with a physical condition that's extremely difficult to tolerate. Another troubling side effect that occurs mainly with typical antipsychotic drugs is called akathisia. People who have this side effect describe a desperate state of inner restlessness, agitation, and anxiety. Treatment begins with discontinuing the use of the atypical antipsychotic medication and trying out other medications to reduce the symptoms. Atypical antipsychotics. Researchers developed these new neuroleptics with the hope of decreasing the risk of side effects such as tardive dyskinesia. But the extent to which this goal has been achieved isn't yet clear. Limited research suggests that atypical antipsychotics may have a calming effect and reduce impulsivity. Researchers have completed a few positive trials with patients who have BPD, but again, research is limited. The following list provides the generic names followed by the brand names of some of the most common atypical antipsychotic drugs. We note in this list whether or not these drugs cause weight gain. Before beginning a prescription medication that can increase weight, your doctor should screen you for hypertension and risk of diabetes. This screening should include looking at fasting plasma glucose, blood drawn after a night-long fast, cholesterol levels, and blood pressure. Aripiprazole, Abilify. This drug is less sedating and can cause less weight gain than some of the others in this group. Clozapine, Clozaril. Side effects can be severe, including sweating, increased salivation, drooling, and weight gain. It's not usually given for BPD. Ziprasidone, Geodone. This drug is less sedating and causes less weight gain than some other atypical antipsychotics. You should take this drug with food. Paliperidone, Invega. Less sedating than other medications, this drug isn't for use with elderly patients. Risperidone, Risperdal. This drug can decrease agitation and behavioral disturbances and often causes weight gain. Quetiapine, Seroquel. Linked to sedation and weight gain, this drug isn't recommended for people with cardiac risks. Olanzapine, Zyprexa. This drug can cause weight gain. Smoking cigarettes may decrease its effectiveness. Researchers have studied this medication in randomized controlled trials, and it appears to improve symptoms in BPD. Technical stuff. Doctors use brand name Symbiax, a combined form of fluoxetine, an antidepressant, and olanzapine, an atypical antipsychotic, to treat bipolar disorder. Warning. The FDA warns that atypical antipsychotics can lead to hyperglycemia or diabetes. Some of these medications appear to be worse than others. In fact, olanzapine, one of the drugs studied for treating BPD, leads to significant weight gain, which can then lead to diabetes. Furthermore, some reports suggest that these medications may increase the risk of sudden heart failure. Therefore, you, or someone you love, shouldn't take these drugs without considerable consideration of both the costs and benefits. Mood stabilizers. Mood stabilizers, also known as anticonvulsants or anti-seizure medications, are drugs that prevent reoccurring seizures in people with epilepsy. In addition to preventing seizures, though, they appear to even out moodiness and, as a result, are a frequent choice for people with bipolar disorder. A few studies suggest that mood stabilizers can decrease impulsive anger in some people with BPD. Again, research is limited. Warning. However, you can't ignore the downsides of mood stabilizers when you're considering them for yourself or someone you care about. First, while taking these medications, people need to be monitored closely for possible toxicity. And second, overdosing on mood stabilizers can be fatal. Some of the mood stabilizers, with the brand names in parentheses, your physician may recommend include lithium. Commonly used to treat bipolar disorder, this drug is rarely used to treat BPD. Although lithium is a naturally occurring salt, it can be deadly when levels get too high. Valproic acid, or divalproax. Depakote. Less dangerous than lithium in terms of toxicity, this drug may help reduce aggression. Weight gain and sedation are common side effects. Lamotrigine. Lamictal. This drug may be useful in reducing impulsivity and anger. One side effect is a rare but possibly fatal skin reaction. It also causes less weight gain than other mood stabilizers. Gabapentin, Neurontin. Used for peripheral nerve pain, this drug may also reduce anxiety. It doesn't cause as many side effects as the other mood stabilizers. Carbamazepine, Tegretol. Fatal in overdose, this drug is used for treating resistant bipolar and psychotic disorders. It interferes with birth control pills, and people taking it need frequent blood monitoring. Oxcarbazepine, Trileptal. Chemically similar to carbamazepine, this drug is safer, but it also interferes with birth control pills. Topiramate, Topamax. Associated with weight loss, this drug can cause problems with slowed thinking. Topiramate has shown some potential to treat certain problems with addiction and impulsivity, such as alcohol addiction and pathological gambling. But like all the other drug treatments, much more research needs to be done. Making the medication decision. The quality of life for people with BPD can be quite poor. As we describe in Chapter 3, some people with BPD experience sudden shifts in mood and have severe interpersonal problems. Others hurt themselves, and some eventually kill themselves. Thus, you can understand why people search for ways to end their suffering. If taking one medication cured BPD, everyone would be delighted, no doubt. Unfortunately, researchers haven't yet found a drug that can take away all the pain. Therefore, you need to keep your expectations for medications realistic. If your treatment includes taking medication, stay in close contact with your physician or psychiatrist so that he can monitor the effects of the drug as well as the effects on your mood and your general health. When you take medications, we advise you to do the following. Be patient. Some medications take a number of weeks to become fully effective. Be informed. Know what side effects to expect and discuss the benefits and risks with your physician thoroughly. Take your medication as prescribed. Don't discontinue medication suddenly without consulting your doctor, because severe problems can result. Never take more than the prescribed amount. Don't drink alcohol or take illegal drugs while taking medications for BPD. If you experience serious side effects, consult with your doctor about possibly decreasing or eliminating some of your medication. Tell your doctor about any and all side effects you experience with a medication, including sexual side effects, even though you may feel embarrassed doing so. Sometimes side effects reduce with time. Other times, your doctor may prescribe a different medication to deal with side effects, or add another medication to lessen the first drug side effects. Realize that if you think a certain drug may be helpful to you, but your physician disagrees, he probably has a good reason. Many people with BPD seek medications that have addictive potential. In the end, these medications are likely to cause more harm than good. Be aware that adding additional medications won't likely result in a fully satisfactory outcome. The more medications you take, the more side effects you can expect. If you disagree with your physician, you can seek a second opinion. However, try to avoid the temptation of endless doctor shopping, because you're likely looking for a perfect doctor, and that doctor doesn't exist. remember. Studies show that psychotherapy tends to work better than medication for BPD. Remember that psychotherapy does take a while. Try not to expect medication miracles because you will most likely be disappointed. Hopefully, sometime in the future, researchers will find a more effective medication option for treating BPD.